It's nice to be back among you after a couple weeks away, but always good to be back home and always good to be here with you folks. As we open the Word this morning, I'll be announcing those scripture passages in just a moment or two, but I wanted to introduce our subject. One of the greatest themes of the Christmas season is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel came to Joseph and said, "You shall call his name Jesus." There's something precious about the name of Jesus. There's something wonderful about the name of Jesus. And I was wondering at this Christmas season, what is precious to you? What is most precious to you? And I want you to put your thinking caps on. What is precious to you? Perhaps it's the lights, the tree, the decorations, or the presents, or family, or songs, or food. What's precious to you? Now, all of us have things that are precious to us, but what's most precious? A few years ago, my wife and I were celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we went away to a wonderful place in Cape May, New Jersey. Our children had provided it for us, and it was a beautiful old Victorian home, and we were in there. They actually served breakfast in bed. They came up with trays and served it to us, and then we had a patio. We could eat out in the patio. It's just a wonderful experience. But as we left that place, my wife looked at her ring, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, my diamond is gone." The diamond had been come loose from the setting and dropped out somewhere. So we went back to the Victorian home, and we searched that place top to bottom, underneath everything, asked everyone if anyone had seen it. Of course, you know, you hope somebody's honest enough to say, "I found it." But alas, nobody found it. I'll tell you the grief that was in our heart to lose something so precious. 50 years of wearing that. Actually, 51, because she had it a year before we got married. And then to lose it all. That is a precious thing. Many of you have diamonds here. All the ladies that have a diamond ring, lift up your left hand or right hand or wherever it happens to be. Lift it up. Don't be ashamed. Your husband's watching. Don't be ashamed. I would like you to put that in the offering this morning. That shows how precious that is too. No, you're not about to do that. If you've seen the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Rings, you probably remember the character Gollum that found the ring. And he considered it most precious, and he was often found to be wringing his hands and saying, "My precious, my precious, my precious." And there's things like that in life where we hold very precious to us. But in the Word of God, God says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is elect and chosen of God, and He is precious. He is the cornerstone, and that cornerstone is precious. And all through the Bible, we read concerning the names of the Lord and how precious the Lord Jesus is. I want you to read with me some scripture. Isaiah 9, verse 6, and then Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4, and then we're going to include a portion from Philippians. And I do this because I want to highlight the preciousness of the name of the Lord Jesus. From Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's how great he is, how wonderful he is. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways," Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. "Long ago and many times and many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." There again is that name that is so excellent and so precious. And finally, Philippians chapter 2. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness as men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts as we open the word together. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see Jesus in all his splendor and glory. We might understand the things that are given to us of God, and especially this name that is above all names. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What's in a name? Well, God considered there's a name that's very important, and he gave that name to his son, and he would be called Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, it says, his name shall be called Jesus, but he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. As we think of our Christmas season, we think of Jesus in that manger, and that cute little baby, tiny and red and cuddly, and he's sleeping in that manger, as the old hymn says, away in a manger. And I like that lie that's told in this, no crying he makes. I doubt very much that Jesus didn't cry. He probably cried like all other babies. But God had given him a name and put upon him a name that's above every name. What's in a name? What's your name? I got the name Richard, and that's not a name I would have chosen, but that's what was given to me because there was a popular song when I was born in 1947, Open the Door, Richard. Some saint in our church looked that up and brought me a copy of it. It's a terrible song. God did not see fit to name Jesus by any other name. He didn't call him Aloysius or Alfonso or Alfred or Ashurbanipal. He didn't call him Archie or Horace or Herman or Harry or Dick or Jack or Gomer or Goober. He called him Jesus. Now, the name Jesus was a common name. It was a name that was specifically the name of Joshua in the Old Testament, who was the Savior or the Deliverer of God's people, bringing them into the Promised Land. And God chose that name and set it apart and said, from this day forward, this name shall be precious. This name shall be Yeshua. This name shall be Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We need to know this Jesus. We need to understand who he is. We need to see the greatness of his power. And yet many of us have known the name of Jesus, heard the story of Jesus, read the Bible, and know about Jesus, but we don't know him. The Apostle Paul had met Jesus face to face in a vision on the road to Damascus. And as Jesus came and spoke to him personally, yet later in life in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I want to know him. I want to really know him in the power of the resurrection. I want to know Jesus in the deepest way that I can know him. And that's our prayer this morning, that we will know him in the power of who he is, in the power of his resurrection. There are three things I want to point out this morning about Jesus and his name. First of all, the greatness of his name, then the glory of his name, and finally, the goodness of his name. Our children grew up in the time of Sesame Street. Sesame Street was a wonderful program. I loved the puppets, and that was the inspiration for our puppet ministry in Brazil, in which we did outdoor services and brought many to Christ through those puppets. But Sesame Street also feeds us with some doctrines that are false. If you remember it, the most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. You remember that? Please help me not feel old. Do you remember that? Yeah, of course you remember that. But that's a false doctrine, because the most important person in the whole wide world is not you. It's Jesus. Jesus, who has the name that's above every name, greater than any name that has ever been on the face of the planet. God has given him a name and titles and characteristics and descriptions. There are over 700 names in the scriptures. And so this morning we have our display back at the back table of names of the Lord. We've identified 144 for you to choose from out there. We want to challenge you to choose a name of the Lord, an identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, some characteristic of him that you will carry with you into the next year. We want to encourage you to take the name seriously, for God has given him all of these titles and all these names and all these descriptions for us so that we can know him. In the Old Testament, he was known as Jehovah or Yahweh. It was the unpronounceable name. The priest could not even utter the name. They would always come to that in their reading, and they would not say Yahweh, and they would not say Jehovah. They would say Adonai. They'd substitute the Lord for that word because it was so sacred. And later on, they even omitted Adonai because it was so sacred. They said Hashem, the name. God wants us to honor and glorify the greatness of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you come to this Christmas season, and as you gather around the Christmas tree and the manger scene, remember all that took place in his birth. It's not just a miraculous birth. It is a birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the birth of God incarnate, come in the flesh, to show himself to us and to bring us back to God. There was a wonderful pastor that pastored in Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California for many years. His name is Dr. S.M. Lockridge. And I often wonder why these old pastors always went by their initials instead of their names. S.M. Lockridge stands for Shadrach Meshach Shack Lockridge. No wonder he used S.M. instead of his name. But he gives a great little speech, and it's longer than I could take this morning. But he exalts the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to try to mimic him, not make fun of him, but mimic him, because I think the power of his words are effective in showing the greatness of the Lord. He says, "My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know him today? He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him today? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is in righteousness. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. That's my king. He's the King of Kings. Do you know him today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Not just the one who is written about in Scripture, but a personal relationship with him who came and lived and died on the cross and rose again so that you might have that personal relationship with him. Jesus is alive today. That's the greatness of his name. Then we look at the glory of his name. His name is glorious. I love that passage in Isaiah 9:6. Where it says, his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, the old King James says Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, and goes on that way. Modern translations put Wonderful, Counselor together as one word. I like to keep them separate. His name is Wonderful. And everything about him is wonderful. He is the Lord of all. He is God incarnate. He is the one who came to save us from our sins. Take some time today or some other day this week and go through your hymn books and look for all the songs that talk about the name of Jesus. Let me give you a suggestion. No other name. There is a name that I highly treasure. The name of Jesus, name above all names. The name of Jesus is so sweet. And there's something about that name. There's something about that name. Perhaps the famous of all is the Gaither song. There's just something about that name. Let me read you some of the lyrics to that song, because I think it's powerful. Jesus, the mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness, arguments cease. I heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever, and watched as that little body grew quiet and the fever brow cooled. I've sat at the side of a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength just to whisper Earth's sweetest name. Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophers have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's wraith, shall raise in one mighty chorus and proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord to the glory of God. You see, it was not by mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, His name shall be called Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, there's something about that name. There's the greatness of the name. There's the glory of His name. And finally, there's the goodness of His name that all of us need to participate in. If you take the time to do some word studies in your Bible, whether you have a computer to do that or the old Strong's Concordance, look up the expression, thy name. And you'll find that David the psalmist repeats that over and over again. He glorifies the name of the Lord. You remember that from Psalm 23. He talks about the name of the Lord. I found 21 times that he lists those things that we ought to do with the name of the Lord. We should wait on His name. We should praise His name. We should sing to His name. We should declare His name. We should know His name. We should fear His name. Glorify His name. Lift up hands to His name. Yes, that's in Scripture. Presbyterians, lift up hands to His name. Give thanks to His name. Be called by His name. Remember His name. Love His name. Rejoice in His name. Seek His name. Confess His name. Magnify His name. Speak His name. And think on His name. And the final one of all is probably the most important of all of those. Call upon His name. Call upon His name. And God gives us the encouragement to call upon His name, for He says that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that word call is important. It occurs in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament that word is an onomatopoeic word, which means that it describes a sound. So we have many sounds that are like that. Bang. If you've ever watched the Batman series, they put those right on the screen. If somebody gets punched, it goes pow, kabang, kush, boom. All of those are these kinds of words. And this word in the Old Testament, to call upon the name of the Lord, is the word karah. It expresses what a crow does. It caws. Shall I do it for you? Caw, 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 caw. I can do this all day. But the word is used over and over again to tell God's people that they need to be people who call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, we call upon His name and the Lord to be saved, but throughout our salvation experience, we continue to call upon His name. We cry unto His name, and that's what it means in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when it says call, it means to call upon Him by name. We call upon the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I want to challenge you today. How often in your life, how often in your daily experience are you calling upon the Lord? Are you lifting up a call to His presence and saying, Jesus, 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 I need You. But the most important is to call upon His name to be saved. For all of us are sinners and all of us are separated from God. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He came because we could not come. We could not obey the Old Testament covenant. We could not obey the Ten Commandments even. We broke every one of them over and over again. And so He came to take on the likeness of human flesh, to live a sinless life, and to die as the spotless Lamb of God who gave His life to wash away our sins. And Jesus promises to all who call upon His name, that say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, come into my life. That moment that you do that, Jesus will come into your life and you will be born again. You'll become a new person because Jesus will live in you. Have you done that? Have you called upon His name? As we visited with our grandchildren this past week, our little granddaughter, 10 years old, had a special pen and she liked to show it off. And she wrote something in her diary. And I looked through every page of her diary. There was nothing there. And she says, but Papa, it's there. You just can't see it. She had this special pen that you can only see with a UV light. And so she wrote in her journal all of her secret things, all of the things she wanted to keep secret from other people. And then the pen has a little light on it, a UV light. You shine that on it and you could see the name. It's wonderful. I was thinking about that when I read Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, which says, His name will be put on our foreheads. When we get to heaven, His name will be put on our foreheads. Now, I couldn't find one of those UV pens this morning, but I was going to call somebody up here and write Jesus on your name, on your forehead. Sorry, I couldn't find it, so I have a pen here. I'm going to do it in permanent ink. But wouldn't that be something? To stand before the presence of God and be stamped. The Bible calls that being sealed by the name of the Lord. These are mine. These are my children. And God says He wrote those names not only on their foreheads, but in the book of life. And God opens those books to see who belongs to Him. And your name is written there because you called upon the name of the Lord. And you asked Him to save you. You asked Him to forgive your sins and be your Savior. So let me conclude this message. I want to give you three challenges. First of all, have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you called on the name of the Lord Jesus to save you? Have you invited Him to come into your life as your Savior and wash away your sins? Yes, you need to invite Him to come in. I tell the story of in Brazil, we were working with people that were involved with lots of witchcraft, and many people were demonized and some were demon possessed. There was a man who we worked with for 2.5 hours trying to lead him to Christ. He said, I want Christ. I want Jesus. I want to be a Christian. And he read the New Testament. He loved the Gospel of John. He said, I love everything about it. But every time I asked him, are you willing to receive Christ? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because he was bound by Satan. He was bound by the evil one. And so for 2.5 hours, we prayed over him. We sought the Lord. We did everything we knew how to do. They don't teach you these things in seminary. But we wrestled in prayer, seeking God for this man. And we kept telling him, you just need to call upon the name of the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord. And each time he'd start to do that, he'd choke up and go, Jesus! And then the demon would choke him. The final time we were exhausted, we sat down on a pew and picked up a hymn book and started to sing songs about the name of Jesus. And that man, although he was violent, and he had broken many of the pews and threw down the pulpit into pieces. He was at the front of the altar. And you watched him melt to his knees and start to weep. And we approached him and said, Alair, have you received Jesus? And he said, not yet. And he looked around the room and he said, who broke all the pulpit? Who broke the pews? Who threw these things down? We said, you did. The demon that's in you has done these things because you are trying to receive Christ and he's resisting you. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. And that last moment, he says, oh, I want to. And so I said, then pray and call on the name of the Lord. And he went like this. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be my Savior and wash away my sins and cleanse me from all the evil I have done. And then he just burst out in this wonderful prayer of confession and weeping and sorrow. And he was set free from his demons at the name of Jesus. Now, nobody here that I know of is demonized. But you know, sometimes Satan gets you by the foot and he just keeps pulling you the wrong direction. Keeping you away from that day when you're going to call upon the name of the Lord. And the day that you do, you will be saved. That's the first thing. Second thing is seek to know Him. Seek to know this name. As Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of the resurrection. Search through the Scriptures for names of the Lord. We have many names back there. I've given you a list of 144. I have another list of over 700 names of the Lord. Every one of those names is given to you that you might tap into it, that you might experience the presence of the Lord in that way. I'm right now working on mine. At the end of the year, I always go through trying to determine what name the Lord would want me to carry. I'm down to three H's. Hope, help, and healing. He is my hope. He is my help. He's my healer. I don't know which one I'm going to take, but right now, because my knee hurts, I might take healer. whatever you have, pray about it and ask the Lord to show you what He wants to be for you this year. And then take one of those cards off the board. Those cards are free to take it. Pray over that and make that the name of the Lord for the year. We also have these little ornaments that are out there. I'm sorry I can't give them away, but they're $5 a piece if you want an ornament with that name on it. And we also have a book out there that I wrote many years ago called Blessed Be the Name. It's Old Testament names of the Lord. And I think you'll find that a blessing to guide you into seeking to know Him and to know Him more intimately. And finally, I want to encourage you to take the name of Jesus with you. Bear His name before a sinful world. Take the name of Jesus, whether it's Christ my healer, the Lord is my hope, whatever you choose, take that with you. And then boldly proclaim His name. David says, we will declare the name of the Lord in the congregation and in the world because they need Him. So my encouragement is this, claim the name of the Lord, embrace the name of the Lord, and cling to the name of the Lord. As we close this morning, we're going to sing His Name is Wonderful, number 65. And as we do that, if you've never called upon His name, even while we sing, you can do that in your pew. You don't need to do it out loud, but you could say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Cleanse me of my sin. Come into my life and be my Savior. And He will do that just now. Number 65 in your hymn books. And let's stand as we sing. Bow your hearts with me as we pray. Well, no one looking around at other people, but perhaps today is the day that you need to call upon the name of the Lord. And if you need to do that, you've never been set free from your sins. You've never invited Jesus to come into your heart. Would you say with just a slip up of your hand, just lift up your hand quietly and say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer right now. And I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, now as we close this service, we pray that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not as a God who is far off, not as a historical Jesus, not as a theological Jesus, but as the personal Jesus that You are. Father, I pray that You would minister to every heart that's here today, that the name of Jesus will become precious to them, that they will explore the name of the Lord throughout the Scriptures and rejoice in You. They will wait upon the Lord and call upon the Lord and declare His name. And they will love You more than they love anything else in this world. Go with us now and grant us the benediction of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.